Good morning. 2 days ago, February 28th, 1960, was the wedding day for Ed and Bobby Hammersley, 60 years ago. Congratulations. Bobby, I don't know how you've done it, but are you familiar with the story of Jacob in Genesis 32? He's getting ready to meet his brother Esau after 20 plus years that they have been apart from one another. The last time that they were together, Esau was ready to kill him because Jacob, his brother, had stolen the blessing from his father. That blessing was to go to Esau, but Jacob stole it. And then he ran for his life. And now, here in Genesis 32, it looks like they're going to cross paths again after all of these years. And Jacob is very nervous. And in fact, you could say Jacob is very scared for his life, because he's wondering if Esau has it in for him still, if Esau is going to take revenge against him. And so Jacob has quite a large family at this time. Two wives, you remember. And so he divides his family into two sections. And he's sending gifts ahead to Esau, hoping that these gifts will appease his brother, if indeed he's still angry at him. Jacob spends the night alone, knowing that the next morning he's going to see his brother. He doesn't sleep much that night. I'm sure he's worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, but really the main reason he doesn't sleep that night is there is a man, the text says, who shows up, and he and Jacob wrestle each other. They wrestle all night long with each other. And you read there in that chapter of Genesis, this was no ordinary man that Jacob was wrestling. In fact, Jacob is convinced that it's God whom he's wrestling. Because after the wrestling match, he names that place Peniel, which means the face of God. And I have a picture for you. It's actually on the picture that is on your bulletin as well this morning. It's probably an angel, really, that Jacob is wrestling with. In fact, Hosea, the prophet, chapter 12 of his writing, refers to Jacob who wrestled with an angel. But to Jacob, it seemed like it was God himself that he was wrestling with. And what I want to point out to you is Jacob held his own in this wrestling match. These two wrestled all through the night, which to me sounds like quite an exasperating experience. If you've ever been in a serious wrestling match, you know it can zap your energy just that fast. These two men wrestled all through the night. And as daybreak is about to happen, the angel decides it's time to grab hold of his superhuman powers, to tap into his superhuman powers. Up to this point, it's been one man against another, but now it's time to wind this wrestling match down, and the angel reaches to Jacob's hip and touches it, and the scripture says that his hip was wrenched. The original Hebrew, that word simply means his hip was dislocated. You talk about taking advantage of a guy. It says afterward that Jacob walked with a limp. The point I want to make from this is Jacob would not let go of God. In a very real sense, he was wrestling with God, and as daybreak came, the man was saying to Jacob, "Let me go." And Jacob answered him as they were wrestling, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Think about those words. "I will not let you go unless you bless me." I want to challenge you today to have that kind of tenacity in prayer to God and say to Him, "I will not let go of you, God, unless you bless me." We've been talking for several weeks about being desperate for God. You've heard me say this several times. If you are not desperate for God, then you are in a desperate situation. We need to be desperate for God. We need Him. We need His blessing upon our lives. Could I encourage you to pursue Him with all of your being? Would you determine to wrestle with Him and not let go of Him until He blesses you? First of all, be desperate for His power in your life. Wrestle with Him and don't let go of Him until He gives you His power. Anybody here need God's power in your life? Oh, I'm glad a few of you do. The rest of you, you don't need God's power. No, we all need God's power, don't we? Every single one of us need His power. We need His power to overcome sin and to deal with the temptation that comes our way. We need His power to face those struggles that come our way. We need His power to overcome those bad habits that have found their way into our lives. We need His Holy Spirit power to help us in our witnessing. We need His power to help us deal with the disappointments that come our direction. I mentioned to you several weeks ago that my niece by marriage, her name is Jen, had been diagnosed with breast cancer. Jen is in her early 40s. She has four kids at home. Her surgery to remove the cancer was scheduled for February 5th. She had that surgery. It seemed to go well at the time, although the doctor had come out and was talking to the family after the surgery, and he said to the family that there was more cancer there than what they realized. Of course, the family has hopes that all of the cancer is gone, that it has not gone into the lymphatic system, and praise the Lord, it had not. The pathology reports came back saying that it was not in the lymph nodes, but the pathology reports also were saying that not all of the cancer had been removed. The margins were not clear, which meant there's still cancer left. They had not taken enough tissue in the surgery. And so this last week, Jen had to go back in for surgery and have more tissue removed. And all of this was taking place during the time at which I'm thinking about this sermon. And I'm thinking, you know, how do you handle that kind of news from the doctor? You handle it only by God's grace and by God's power that is in your life. Disappointments do come. Not everything happens according to our plans, so we need His power. We need His dunamis in our lives. You say, what? Need what? You need His dunamis in your life, and I need His dunamis. Dunamis is the Greek word for power in the New Testament. And I bet you can imagine or figure out what English word is derived from that word. dunamis. Dynamite. Dynamite. That's the English word that comes from that Greek word. Dynamite is used in construction to undo some pretty heavy-duty stuff. We need the dunamis of the Holy Spirit in us to help us deal with some pretty heavy-duty stuff sometimes that comes our way. The Greek word means force or strength. This is a force greater than that which we can muster up ourselves. Our strength is weak, but His strength is so much greater. It helps us deal with whatever might come our direction. In fact, let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "Now to Him who is able to do more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the dunamis, according to the power that works within us." I have a footnote in my study Bible that says this about that phrase, "far more abundantly." This is a doubly compounded word meaning super, super abundantly. The NIV translates it this way: "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the dunamis, according to the power that is at work within us." Whose power is this? It's His power. I want you to think for a moment about His power. It was His power that calmed the storm. It was His power that He spoke and the demons obeyed. It was His power that raised Lazarus from the dead as he had been inside of that tomb for 4 days. It was His power that healed that woman who had the flow of blood. And you remember, for 12 years, she had been seeking help from doctors, trying to get help to her problem, and to no avail. It was Jesus' power that changed the water into wine, the very best wine. It was His power that raised that man in John chapter 5 to walk for the very first time. He's 38 years old. He had never walked, and Jesus helped him to walk. That is super, super abundant power, and it is the same power that was available to raise Jesus up from the dead. Hear me say this, my brothers and sisters. The same power that raised Jesus up from the dead is available for you and me today. Let me read to you from Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. It says this: "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's dunamis, God's power for us who believe Him." This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. I mean, no wonder Paul said in Philippians 3, "I want to know the power of His resurrection." That power is available for us. We have dunamis power in us. We have resurrection power in us if we'll make the decision to tap into it. And that ought to be our prayer. God, help me to be desperate for Your power in me. You know, what a shame it is if we have this super, super abundant power available to us, but we never take advantage of it. Why wouldn't we take advantage of His power? Why don't we take hold of His power? Maybe it's because we have sin in our lives. You remember in the Old Testament when God's people had such a major victory over Jericho. They had marched around the walls of that city for 6 days, once each day, and then on the seventh day, they marched around the city walls 7 times, as God had told them to do. Then they blew their trumpets, and they shouted unto the Lord, and what happened to the walls? Came tumbling down. What an amazing victory it was. And then, if you keep reading there, in Joshua, just a few days later, they have come to this town called Ai. It was just a little town. It was a nothing kind of town. It was nothing compared to Jericho. Just a little bitty town, just like Stotesbury over here. I come through Stotesbury every day, coming to the office, and I see that sign, 18 people live in Stotesbury. I mean, it's a blink and you'll miss it kind of town. And this is Ai. This is Ai in the book of Joshua. It's just a little bitty town. And the people of Israel, they've just had a fantastic victory over Jericho. Why do we need to worry about Ai? Let's just send a few of our troops against Ai. We don't need to send our whole army against Ai. And so they sent just 6,000 soldiers against Ai. Do you remember what happened? Ai kicked their backsides and sent them running back to their camp with their tails between their legs. And I mean, they have been humiliated. And Joshua's response to all of this was, God, why? Why have you let this happen? And God's answer was, there's sin in the camp, Joshua. There's sin in the camp. Turns out Achan had sinned against God by taking silver and gold from the Jericho plunder, which they had specifically been told by God not to do. Everything at Jericho was to be burned. Achan didn't listen to God, and it cost Israel 36 soldiers' lives and a whole lot of humiliation. And until Achan's sin was dealt with, the power of God was gone from Israel. A few weeks ago, Tracy Simmons gave me a little reading about a revival that had swept across China in the early 1900s. You know what started the revival? It was when the missionaries there began to confess their sins to God. For quite a while, they had been preaching to the people, and it just seemed like the preaching was falling on deaf ears. It seemed like their prayers were falling on deaf ears. Nothing seemed to be going in their favor, and they began to talk with one another, and they're looking to God for help and what is the answer. And the missionaries all together began to feel that God was directing them to have a time of personal confession of their sins. And so each missionary retreated to his own place of private prayer, and with him or her, they took a Bible and they took a pen and a piece of paper on which they could write down their sins against God, and they would then ask him to forgive them of their sins. Let me read to you what took place. This is from a book entitled How to Develop a Powerful Prayer Life. It says, each missionary had the same experience. After a significant time of spiritual searching, the missionaries came together and confessed several things to one another. They then prayed and asked God to fill them with the Holy Spirit. At once, something totally incredible began to happen. First, God poured out His Spirit on the missionaries. They immediately sensed a joy and power they had never known. The reality of God's manifest presence was overwhelming. There was absolutely no doubt that God had filled and empowered them in a brand new way. Second, their praying and their preaching took on awesome new power. Third, God sent a flood of the Holy Spirit upon the entire region. Suddenly, the Chinese people who were so unresponsive now flooded into the kingdom of God. Their cold hearts melted before the mighty conviction of God's Spirit. Frequently, the missionaries would be awakened in the middle of the night by people so under conviction they could not wait until morning to be saved. How did God bring this glorious change in the missionaries and such awesome spiritual awakening to the whole region? It happened the same way as every great revival. God's people were genuinely cleansed through deep confession, and then God filled them with mountain-moving power. Brethren, this is God's changeless pattern for every great revival and spiritual awakening in history. Furthermore, this is the only pattern for genuine spiritual fullness and power in your daily life. And I'm thinking, wow, maybe we need a time of personal retreat to a private setting where we take our Bible and we take a pen and a piece of paper and we write down our sins before God and we say, God, I want to give these to you. I repent. I ask you to forgive me. I want to be desperate for you. I need you. I need your power and your presence in my life. I mean, wouldn't that be a good thing for us to do? To wrestle with him and not let go of him until he blesses us? Will you do that? Will you decide to just get away somewhere for an hour or longer? Get away by yourself somewhere and take some time to pray and wrestle with him and give your sins to him in confession and repentance. And just see what he might do for you. Certainly he will cleanse you, but see what he might do in you and through you. It's easy to hear a sermon and even to go out the door and say, hey, that was a good sermon today, Kevin. But you know what we really need is to hear a sermon and do something with it, to act upon it. And this is my challenge to you, that you would act upon this sermon, that you'd put some feet to this sermon and do what you've been encouraged to do, to wrestle with him for his power, to be desperate for his blessing in your life, to confess your sins to him and let him cleanse you. Let me give to you a second thing that you need to be desperate for, that we need to be desperate for. Be desperate for his blessing upon your family. One of the greatest gifts that God has given to us is our family. I've got a picture. This is our family. Why do I love them, every one of them? You know how hard it is to get a picture of this many people with that many little ones, everybody looking at the camera and everybody smiling and having their eyes open at the same time, it's not easy. So we were happy to get this picture. We felt like it was pretty good. It was taken just a few months ago. Our family's precious to us. Could I encourage you to wrestle with God for His blessing upon your family? Why don't we do that more? You know, when it's all said and done, for Cindy and I, the most important thing is that every one of these people in this picture would love Jesus with their whole heart and live for Him and go to heaven, and that we can all be there together. That is the most important thing to us. It really doesn't matter how many degrees are behind the names of the people that are in this picture. It really doesn't matter when it's all said and done how much money is a part of the circle here in this picture. If we pulled our money together, what dollar figure would that be? It doesn't matter about that. The only thing that matters to us, really, when it's all said and done, is that every person in this picture would love Him with their whole being. And that not one would miss heaven. And I know that's true for you too. And so, let's wrestle with God over our family and not let go of Him until He blesses us. We need to have that kind of tenacity in our praying, the perseverance that Jacob had when it comes to our family. Lord, whatever it takes, bring them to their knees. They're yours, God. Convict them. Rescue them from this world. Deliver them from the power of the evil one. Keep them, Father, in your arms. Protect them from the lies and schemes of the prince of darkness. God, grow them. Mold them. Use them. That should be our wrestling match with God the Father, in behalf of our family. And may each of us here become that prayer warrior in behalf of our family. If you got young kids at home still, you need to be wrestling with God on behalf of their souls. There's some grandparents here today. We need to be wrestling with God on behalf of the souls of our grandkids. One of the pictures that I have in my mind of my dad, I don't know if I've told you this before, but I was still at home, and now I don't remember how old I was, but I was old enough that I was kind of going to bed at the whatever time I wanted to. I don't know if it was summertime, probably was. And so my folks had already gone to bed this particular night. I'm going to bed after them. And I'm walking down the hallway, their rooms to the right, at the end of the hallway, my rooms to the left. And their door was cracked open. And as I went and made that turn to the left, I looked inside of their door, and I saw my dad on his knees. Side his bed. And that picture is a sweet memory. It's etched in my mind. And my mom was such a prayer warrior in behalf of her family. That was one thing that my siblings and I talked about as my mom passed away here a year ago, that we had such a prayer warrior in our behalf through her. And that was one of the things that we felt like when we lost her, we lost that prayer warrior. Such a prayer warrior for me, for my family, for my ministry, she was. But I'm thinking, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe she's up there in heaven and she says, God, let's wrestle. I want to wrestle today on behalf of my family down there on the earth. I don't know if that happens or not. But we need to be prayer warriors on behalf of our family. And that's my challenge to you, that you would be a grappler on the mat with God in behalf of your family. Don't let go of him until he blesses your family. And I really do believe that the fasting and praying that we did as a congregation in January has made a difference in people's openness to the gospel. I could tell you several examples since that time where it just seems like the doors have opened to talk with people. I believe that our praying and fasting has made a huge difference in that way. And I'm thinking, do you remember Matthew 17? Jesus has been on the Mount of Transfiguration. He and James and John and Peter have been up there, and they're coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and there's a father who runs to Jesus when he sees him, and he says, I've got a son who has a demon, and your disciples over here, the other disciples, the other nine, they've been trying to cast the demon out, and they couldn't do it. Can you do it? And Jesus cast the demon out. And later, those nine disciples came to him and said, how come you could do that and we couldn't? And his response was, this kind does not come out except through prayer and fasting. We need some wrestlers who will fast and pray on behalf of their family. And they will say to God, we will not let go of you until you bless us. We will not let go of you until every person in our family is saved. We will not let go of you until every person in our family is submitted to your lordship. We will not let go of you, God, until every person in our family has surrendered. Will you answer that call to be a prayer wrestler with God? Let's pray. Father, help us to be that person, to be like Jacob, would you help our families to be saved, every one of them, to be filled up with your Spirit, every one of them, to have a home in heaven, a mansion in heaven with their name on it, and not one to be missing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.